the Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, season 493, episode 4. Been running longer than Breaking Bad or The Sullivans. Kingy Lorraine Bailey died. Was it last week?
A couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
How are you, Ben?
Yes, very good. We've got a very special guest.
Special edition.
The CEO of the Cats is Steve Hocking, and he joins us. Steve, thank you.
Thanks, Ben, and thanks for the invite to Tom as well. Yeah, good to be here.
Have you picked yourself up off the floor after last Friday night?
It's taken a while, yeah. No, look, we moved through those phases. I think hopefully our fans have seen that. We try to not sort of bounce around too much emotionally. It was disappointing way to start the season, but we get an opportunity back at home, GMHBA, this weekend, and we're looking forward to it.
I heard your coach interviewed. I think it might have been, was it yesterday, Kingy, press conference yesterday?
No, it's tomorrow.
Oh, well, he must have been. Oh, it must have been the post-game.
Yeah, post-game.
And he was sort of talking about the fact that, you know, the Cats never get too up and too down about different things. And I mean, from the outside looking in, and I heard Ken Hinckley talk about this actually during the week, that there's some games you think you're a really good chance of winning, some games where you hope you win and you're giving it your best, but you can't win all 23, and sometimes you're making decisions based on down the track rather than that particular game.
Yeah, and I even think, within the game, Friday night, the coaches' minds would have turned to, you're in the moment, but you're also thinking about next week and, where a certain player's going to play and so forth. So they're very adaptable. They've been at it for quite a period of time, this coaching cohort. Obviously, Nathan Buckley's new to it, so he's getting up to speed on that. But, yeah, overall, you try to regulate your behaviour because your players pick up on that really quickly. We're just a little bit behind just because you've had a late finish last year. You're naturally sort of 3 or 4 weeks behind some of those other clubs. And let's not take away from Gold Coast; they are outstanding.
They
were ready to go, and they played some incredible football.
And you know what Geelong's like? The fans sort of forget the previous 20 years, and it's all just about that one game. And suddenly, because Chris Scott wasn't there for a large part of summer, that's the reason why the Cats were 15 goals behind.
Well, hopefully not. I think our fans are much more mature than that.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, I'd like to.
No,
I'd like,
footy fan is.
I'd like to believe that that's the case. I think we're in a world now where it's important for key personnel and people in general to make sure they actually get a break because it's demanding, it's high performance. Chris is in his 16th year, so it's important to make sure that he had a break. And there was plenty of other people within the club, Andrew Mackey and others. I think players often miss the reality of fans miss the fact that the players actually have a really good break. And so you've got to make sure that your people do as well.
Max probably playing the stock market. He's a bit of a tycoon, we hear these days.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
Steve, I ran into a bloke who wore the 13, who was a favourite son of the Cats.
Yeah. Glenn Kilpatrick.
Still is.
Yes, he is, yes. Paul Sarah. Was he 13?
Yeah, he wore 13. You're talking about Domsey, aren't you?
His boomerang back to the club, obviously. But he was saying to me that he can't believe in his time away your sort of upgrading of your apparel has been extraordinary. He feels quite...
As my personal apparel.
Yes. Yeah. He said you've taken it to a new level, and he feels a little bit underwhelmed because he's sort of more of a Dunlop volleys and thong sort of arrangement.
His dress sense is often talked about.
Yes.
Or lack of.
Yes. And his hygiene. I think the 14 used to speak about his hygiene locked next to him.
Yeah, well, I'm not going there. I won't touch that. His dress sense is interesting. I think for some of those guys, they're used to seeing me in the Geelong kits and runners back in footy when I was actually on the factory floor.
Yes.
And genuinely working.
Right, and now you're like the guy upstairs in the Willy Wonka who's just yelling at the peanut factory.
Yes, that's something like that.
Can I ask a serious question?
Here we go.
We're seeing, and it's probably pertinent because the free agency in the NFL is in full swing this week. I think they have a legal tampering period of 48 hours, and deals could be announced as of about 12 hours ago over in the States. And the money that's thrown around there is obviously sort of borders on obscene, but it's become part of the landscape of NFL. You never hear the Americans talking about, you know, that's way too much money to pay this guy. It's just seen as part of the game. We're seeing trends in AFL now that clubs are trying to lure players out with, you know, 10-year deals worth 15, 20 million. Do you think that's healthy for the game? And for so long, Geelong has seemingly been able to sort of work within a pay structure that was so successful, but is that going to be successful going forward with the landscape of how things are moving?
Yeah, look, it's really just a really good discussion, Ben. I think that it's not about following trends overseas. I think people, you know, our fans often get put off by the fact that, you know, the latest thing in America we're following. It's not the case. I think for, you know, the AFL, it's just evolution. And you know, when you think about where the salary cap's got to, you know, that whole TPP amount, broadcast levels, and so forth, it's a big sport. It's a really, really big sport now, our country. And you know, the best players deserve to be paid accordingly, and that's what we've seen now. You know, people will debate whether or not, you know, some of those dollar amounts are going to the right players, but that's on the individual clubs.
Yep.
We have had a model that we always revisit and have to. I think, you know, new president, Grant McCabe, you know, has been excellent in identifying, and he works in consulting for Boston Consulting Group, and he's really been not surprised, but really impressed with how we evolve and how quickly we do that and how dynamic we are in our decision making. So part of what you're sharing there, and I think asking, is, you know, does Geelong's model look different moving forward? We're always reviewing that.
Yep.
You know, and the reality is you might make some adjustments. You know, we were talking earlier in the week internally about Tasmania coming in and all the work that they're going to do, and people refer back to, you know, Gold Coast coming in, GWS, the most recent examples. And the reality is the Tassie one's different again because of what you've just raised.
Yeah.
You've got 10-year contracts. You've got, you know, upwards of $2 million per year that you're going to have to navigate as part of all of that. So, you know, that is on us to be talking about all of that, reviewing it and you know, working out whether we've got you know, the right structures.
So is that, you feel like, the biggest impact that Tassie entering the competition will have, just particularly on the Cats?
I think the models are very similar. Yeah, I think what Tasmania are looking to do, they're as closely aligned to how we operate, you know, own stadium, you know, almost regional in you know, the way they operate. And a little bit, like, very, very much community. It's going to be a very strong community club, Tassie, you know, for all of the people down there. It's fabulous. We're really excited that they've actually got, you know, been awarded that license. We've been very supportive of that. But I just think, yeah, Tassie's going to come in. We'll deal with it as we have done previously, but we will have to be thinking and putting a lot of work into how best to, how's it going to best not impact us? And if anything, where are the opportunities? That's how we'll be thinking about it, where Tassie will present an opportunity for the clubs that are organised.
Yep.
Hock, there's a reason why they make windscreens bigger than rearview mirrors. You're always looking forward and not really looking back, only just to check what was there, and then you keep going forward. But 2025 for your football club, as much as it ended in a grand final appearance for your men's team, it was a tough year, wasn't it, in terms of what you had to deal with in the background, in terms of investigation into obviously player payments and third party, and also obviously we had the Tanner Bruin situation, which we couldn't talk about. You had Bailey Smith obviously giving you some challenges on occasions. Have you had a chance to compartmentalise that, reflect on it, and now look ahead to 2026, maybe with some lessons from last year, not necessarily from what investigations found, anything like that, but just about how, I suppose, it impacts a club when so much is going on.
Yeah, look, we're definitely into 2026. I think that that's absolutely to be acknowledged. Look, always lots of learnings. You haven't touched on the Selwood twins as well, and then, you know, we're managing one or two others through very difficult personal circumstances. So there, you don't expect all of that to come in one season, and it did. So it was a real credit to everybody that we made it through to a grand final. And part of, you know, my role, you know, as the CEO is to make sure that the broader part of the organisation is buffered around that. And I think that I take that really seriously. Comes back to what we almost started this podcast with, around not bouncing around emotionally. We were very open and transparent with our people internally. So that takes a lot of trust to build that. And, you know, I've at times probably been challenged for being too transparent, whereas I actually think I would certainly stay aligned to that and much prefer that, because I think, you know, the people are showing up, they're doing the work, and that they need to understand exactly, you know, what we're involved in and what's ahead of us. So lots of learnings, Tom. You know, there's a range of areas we could go into there, but, you know, it would almost do a disservice to another area. You know, largely just say that, massive learning year. And you learn more about yourself. You learn, you know, particularly a lot about your people. And we're very fortunate. We've got great people. And whilst you don't look to the successes, you know, I look at the year and go, what an amazing year it was to make it through to a grand final. Yes, did it end result end up the way we would have liked it? No. But by and large, it demonstrated a lot of maturity from our people.
You've achieved so much in football and administration. What still excites you, or what still keeps your juices flowing to continue, you know, in this role?
Yeah. Yeah, look, the first thing always is people. Yeah, I draw my energy from people. I still talk about this today. Like, I'm in my fifth year, and it feels like I'm showing up to my first day. So, you know, that's actually hard to find in too much of what you do, in my previous experience. Yeah, look, I'm very grateful for the opportunities that, you know, I've been provided along the way. You know, my time at the AFL was just extraordinary in terms of learning. I felt like I was showing up to Harvard, you know, most days. And I think, you know, within 4 years, with 2 years of COVID, of that 4 years, was just unbelievable learning. I was talking to Travis Auld recently at a Sports Next conference.
And did he get your tickets to the Grand Prix?
No. We're in on the Gold Coast, so had more important things to be committed to. Anyway, we were just chatting. I said, how have you gone with, you know, everything that's going on in the world? And he just said the COVID piece. He said all of his people were quite panicked by it all. Yep. And he was just sitting right in the centre of it, just quite calm with, hey, we'll get our way through this. We'll get, you know, the right planes. We'll get all the teams into the country. And it just took him straight back to COVID. And so that was a level of learning that went on for all of us. And so I've got that sitting inside my system. And so, yeah, for me, there's plenty of challenges. There's, you know, there's a club that is still developing and still evolving. And, you know, as long as that's happening, I'm showing up every day. Pretty happy to be there.
Whenever I hear panic, I always think of toilet paper flying off the shelves, which apparently is happening again at the moment, which is quite extraordinary.
I've heard that. That in petrol.
Not sure of the theory as to why that would be happening, King. Can you enlighten me?
I can't.
Why would fuel be down and then suddenly toilet paper is... No. Anyway, that's what's happening. Steve, you're talking about challenges. The footy fans are starting to jump up and down about the access that Gold Coast and Brisbane and Sydney are having to players. Do you see a change to that down the track, or do you feel like results will push that, or do you think it's just going to trot along as is?
Look, I think there will be change. The one thing I do know about this competition is that depending on who it's going to benefit, there'll be a counter to that group that are trying to push through the benefits that'll, you know, almost try and slow it down. And if they don't have success, and they'll chip away at it, you know, along the way. I think it's been fantastic for what it's worth, and this is a personal view, probably. It's certainly not a Geelong Football Club view. This is my own personal view. I think it's been excellent for football that those states have developed as rapidly as what they are. I'm not sure that people understand necessarily how far it's gotten. So the COVID hub in Queensland just turbocharged Queensland football. It's unbelievable participation rates. They're ahead of South Australia in participation.
It's off the charts.
It is completely off the charts. And I know that gets thrown around, Ben, but it's actually real. The numbers are there to see. And so South Australia is a state that's, you know, rich in football history. And you've got, a rugby state that has gone past it. So that's a credit to everybody involved. That's a credit to all the people in Queensland and those clubs because it's not easy. Their chosen sport has been rugby, and they've done a great job in encouraging those athletes across to football and just getting them interested in the game. And then that's right through both male and female. It's not just male. It's off the charts female participation. So I think there will be change, but what happens is change gets implemented over time. And this is my experience having worked at the AFL, and then at a point in time, people go, we've gone too far.
Mm.
And so what you then have to do is you've almost got to unwrap the onion and peel back the layers again and go, righto, this needs to be reset. Now, I think we could all acknowledge that the draft is compromised, and I think that's the work that will go on.
So we need to wait till Brisbane and Gold Coast are on the bottom of the ladder for about 5 years before we start propping them back up again.
I'm not sure this is going to happen in the next five.
No, I don't think it will. The results will be off the charts if the Lions win three in a row. But your footy club for quite some time now has been blessed with leaders. Tom, probably starting with... I mean, Stephen King, but Tom Harley was the one that sort of probably springs to mind as a sort of a cultural leader of your footy club. And then the baton was obviously then went to Selwood or Cameron Ling and then Selwood. And then you've had right now from the outside looking in, you're there. But the next captain isn't obvious. You've been lucky to have Dangerfield and Tom Stewart as elder statesmen who do a good job and are great citizens in the community. But the next captain of the club isn't obvious from where we sit.
Yeah.
Even the fans talk about it. Do you see that? Do you see the club obviously trying to generate that new skipper that's going to be take over 3, 4, 5 years' time?
Yeah, there's a couple of parts to this to me. The first thing I would say is that I think that reflects that the list has changed dramatically. So it's a much younger list.
Yeah.
And if you have a look at that cohort of... Lawson Humphreys, Max Holmes, you can go through them all. Connor O'Sullivan, Shannon Neal, Ollie Dempsey. Like, there's a big cohort that I think our fans can see that are all coming through at a similar age profile. And I think what will happen over time is they will emerge.
Someone will separate.
Yeah. Well, and what we will do, as we do, we'll do quite a bit of work on that to support them, but we won't, sort of go and tap someone on the shoulder and go, you're next up. It'll be development.
Sorry, is it difficult for those younger players in a group that has so many established players to have a voice?
No, not at all. I think what Chris and the coaching group have done over a period of time is, as you can see, we've actually gone the other way. We don't have a large leadership group. Because you end up with maybe five or six that might have the tight influence over it, and you've got to be careful that doesn't end up becoming, the light in the toilet's out. Someone took my car park. That's sort of what it can turn into.
Yep.
What Chris has done and Andrew Mackey have done over time, and people before them, is they have roughly about 12 to 15. And when we're talking about, on-field matters or selection, where we're going in terms of program and so forth, they're all involved.
Yep.
Everyone gets a voice. Like the stuff that, those issues that Kingy spoke about earlier that we went through last year, we were meeting regularly with about 15.
Yeah, okay.
And they had everyone from Mark Blitzarves, Dangerfield, Stewart, Blitzarves, right down through to Ollie Dempsey,
yep,
Connor O'Sullivan, and so there's a real cross section.
Yep.
And that's how we would like to take it forward, because ideally in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years' time, you haven't got one. You know, you've got sort of half dozen or more.
That's right.
And all of those names I've mentioned, they're all capable. Like, are they a touch ahead of their time at the moment? Absolutely. But they're on the right path.
How's Tyson Stengel tracking?
Yeah, Tyson's been back training, which has been good. You know, he's obviously had, you know, some personal challenges. We always knew that that was going to be the case as far as Tyson goes. Hasn't had an easy childhood, certainly, and so we support him. The AFL has been excellent as far as that goes, along with the PA. We're all working together to make sure that he's supported, and hopefully we see him back soon.
Obviously, you had Eddie Betts at the club in 2022, and Eddie and his wife, Anna Scully, were overseeing Tyson's affairs. Do they still have a hands-on involvement with Tyson?
Yeah, they're still carers as far as Tyson goes, but you know, there's also a point in time where, you know, the individual needs to be able to, you know, stand up and make decisions on their own as well, and that's, you know, part of the support that we're providing Tyson. It's also how he would like to live his life as well. You know, all those people have been very important, will continue to be, just as we are as a football club.
Just going to ask you something a bit different. Is the AI involved in the club? How does the club use AI? I know there's so many different... I mean, it's not my generation, but I know it sits on boards. There's all sorts of things. Does the club use AI?
Yeah, they do, and without sort of panicking people, because, you know, understandably, if you look through a lot of the IT companies, you know, big technology companies, they're dismissing a lot of people, which is unfortunate. We do utilise it within our coaching group. You know, it's around all the data. It's recording, you know, information in certain cases, and dialogue, and then, you know, that gets transformed back into what you can utilise during the week. So we're using it more as an efficiency tool, and you know, we'll stay there. We've caught up with the AFL over the last week. We were fortunate. We had a board meeting on the Gold Coast last week. It's a really good way to kick off the year for us. And we had the new president, the new chair, Craig Drummond, our former president, and Andrew Dillon and also Tom Harley attend, and they spent about an hour with us. And one of the topics we talked about was AI. The AFL has such great capacity. If you have a look at Champion Data and how you two are supported in your roles through Champion Data, there's opportunity for the AFL competitions to really rev up in this space and just create some efficiencies. And, you know, you can use your resourcing differently off the back of that. So it's definitely going to play a big part in the future.
It's only going to grow, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And if you're understanding that every club is using it perhaps to a different degree and differently.
Yes, yeah. And what I would say on that, Ben, is I find that a bit challenging. Like, I know that, you know, there's IP and it's important that you... You know, you're not one of the same. I think that's one of the really nice things about our competition.
Yeah,
it's important to have that individuality, I think, from club to club. And you know, you're less vanilla as a competition. But I think in these streams, my experience is always have the governing body pursue that and understand it and uncover it and develop it. Allow the clubs to have access to that as well, and then. Everyone's sort of starting equal, and then your people decide sort of where it goes.
Yep.
So I think we would get more advanced if we all came together on that versus having 18 independent models.
Absolutely.
And again, that's just a personal view.
So you'd like to see it regulated?
Yeah. Not necessarily regulated. I think that's probably, it's a bit strong language. It's more just getting together on it and supporting it so that we could all benefit. Because everyone will use it slightly differently just due to the personality of the club, and that comes back to your people. That's where you get your differences.
Yeah. Talking about your people, Simon Murphy's a bit of a rising star in the background of the club. Yeah. Jared Ruffhead got the Adelaide list manager's job. My people are telling me that Simon Murphy was strongly considered. Is that, you're aware of that? that he was in the talk?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'd hope I'm aware of it. No, we've been very supportive, as we always are of our people. I think it's good recognition for Simon and the work that he's done. He's part of a really important program that we run, which is obviously list management. He's growing in that. You've got someone like Stephen Wells that's still, you know, the doyen of it all. Mm. We're just talking about all the technology and all the advancement. Wellesley still has the eye for talent. Simon's got all of that back of house understanding and technology and so forth, so that it blends really nicely. But great experience for him. He's gone right through to the finish line on that and got pipped at the post. But really thrilled for Simon. We look forward to him settling back in and getting organised around Tasmania and our future list management decisions.
We'll let you go in a second, Steve, but just your take on Nathan Buckley. I think Cat fans were quite excited and surprised to have Nathan Buckley on board. Just, I don't know how well you knew him prior to him coming to the Cats, but just your take on his personality and his influence within the group.
Yeah, look, I didn't know him well. I'd caught up with him a couple of times. People probably are listening to this going, well, you're in football together, so you should know one another. But you know, there's just so many moving parts. He hasn't been in coaching. He's obviously been in the media aspect of it all. We thought after losing Stephen King, he was a really good fit for us as far as just experience. We also had a feel that he wanted to get back into coaching, and it moved really quickly. You know, once we made the phone call, we sort of got together and chatted through, and the feedback from the coaching group has just been exceptional. But particularly from the playing group.
Can you just give the listeners an idea of how it sort of all happened? Whose idea was it? How did it come about?
Well, there's sort of three of us that spoke about it, which was Chris Scott raised it with Andrew and myself, and then you sort of you get everyone wears a hat in that. Chris is looking for assistant coach. Andrew oversees the football program, and then for me, it's I tuck in where I can support those two best of all. And between the three of us, it moved really quickly. We sensed early on that he had a real appetite to explore it, and then we had to work through how best to do it with other commitments, with his media commitments and so forth. And as much as it will probably challenge some people potentially that he's got a couple of hats he's wearing, we're really supportive of it. We actually think it's part of the future. You might potentially be doing that role, but you're also doing this role. And he's he hasn't missed a session. Not that matters. If he did need to, we would work through that. Players have enjoyed how he sees football. And he's clearly very experienced. He's had 10 years as senior coach.
Well, he's such a respected figure in the game, and you listen to him, and it's not often you think, I don't think he's talking a lot of drivel there.
Yeah.
You obviously generally agree with a lot of that, and he articulates it very well. And he's such an intelligent bloke that his intellect, he's not going to cross the line in the media role and give away something that he's not that...
He's a real professional.
It was just strange that he seemed, well, Friday night we were watching and seemed to be coaching the back line.
Yeah.
And James Kelly is coaching the midfield, which I think Stephen King was coaching the midfield last year.
Yeah.
Just a surprise that he wasn't involved in the midfield and James Kelly.
Yeah, so James had been backline coach for a period of time, and what you try to do in that instance is give James an opportunity to develop further.
Yep.
Also provide people with a different voice. The back half are enjoying having Bucks. But as they do, that they all actually, they've got their area, but they don't stay exclusively in that area.
They move around.
They're across all of it.
Yep.
Because defence is all of team defence.
Yep.
And so the midfielders have a big role to play in that.
Yeah.
Like gone are the days whereby, backs versus forwards versus midfielders. It's one of the same.
Yeah.
And it's like it's all moves together.
It wasn't moving that well on Friday night when they conceded 71 inside 50s.
No, it wasn't. No, well, they just bounced off halfback many times, yeah. And we turned it over too many times there.
The look of players are a little sort of rusty, for want of a bit of a phrase. Yeah. There were skill areas you're not normally characteristic with the Cats.
No. Look, the thing that I was pleased about, you know, you try sort of going, you know, you work your way through it as to, you know, what are your takeaways. The first one for me was our fitness was excellent. Yep. We certainly didn't have any players cramping, so well prepared from that point of view. And then you're looking for just building some form at the back end. Now, people will say, well, Gold Coast have probably spent their tickets potentially and they're a bit, you know, weary at the back end, but we actually found some form late.
Yep.
And you just want to build on that. What I have experienced, no matter what group we've had, the Cats have never been a group to just turn their form on and off. They work at it.
Yep.
And then once they get into form, they can hold it for a period of time. I like that about them. Yeah. Now, again, that's that bit about not sort of bouncing up and down and all over the place with your emotion. Yeah.
Well, it's not a marathon. I think, did Brisbane start 0-4 last year?
Yeah.
And were Hawthorn 0-5?
Was that the year before?
Was that the year before, yeah.
Yeah, it's just an incredibly long season now. And I'm not saying that to, you know, sound like it's onerous. We just got to realise it is a marathon.
It's about timing your run. Pretty much.
Yeah.
But you've got to put yourself in a position to be able to.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you've got to get your early wins, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Question without notice. What's your membership figure at the moment?
It's just ticked over 71 thousand, which is significant. And so thanks to all of those members that are, you know, listening into this podcast. It's about 12% up, Kingy, on this time last year for this very point in time. So, you know, that's quite extraordinary when you think of the challenges in the community around cost of living and a host of other things. So we're very appreciative of that. It does help us continue to stay at the forefront. It is an important number that, you know, people like to talk about. You know, there's obviously seen as a big clubs with 100,000 plus. I think we'll get there at some point in time in the future. But, yeah, really excited to have so many people committed this early.
First GMHBA Stadium game, the surface will look different to, well, not look different, still grass. But
it'll be very consistent.
Yes.
Yeah, so just, again, for, you know, for the fans out there, so there's been a change of contracting in terms of the oval.
Turf management.
Yeah, so HG Turf, who look after Adelaide Oval, now have that contract, and they've seen through all of the resurfacing. What our fans will see is a very consistent surface. Like it's exceptional. I've probably seen, I reckon, about, this is a bit about my history, you know,
Moorabbin in the 80s.
Wow. And the leaking sewerage and so forth. Yeah. I've seen, I think, about three renovations down here, and this is just incredible, and it just happens off the back of technology. Some of the stuff that Ben was asking questions about AI and so forth. What they've done has really lifted the standard of it. It'll mean that, you know, traffic wise, our programs will get a bit more support, and that will be appreciated at times over the last sort of, you know, last 18 months. It's been difficult when rain has hit, drainage has been poor. Yep. Don't take me down the grass path, because I'll go down a rabbit hole. We won't get out of it. Everything from thatch layers and all sorts of stuff.
This is real Jared Griffin.
Jared would be, he'll be almost naked in his office. Look, he loves his Papa Smurf. Former greenskeeper, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah. So look, fair to say, looking forward to seeing all that completed. And then just for, patrons showing up to GMHBA Stadium across this season, you'll see a real shift in some of the food outlets on the concourse there, particularly through the Brownlow stand and the Premiership stand area. We've got Polo Chicken. We've been really keen to work with O'Brien Group We've signed a 10-year deal with them, so that's just happened late last year, and we're excited to have them on board. They've been our provider for some time, but they were the winning tender, and part of what we want to do is provide our people with an unmistakably Geelong experience at the stadium. And so, you know, rather than just having those little icon cafes and food outlets around the region, let's bring them into the stadium. So Folklore will be part of that. Polo Chicken will be part of that as well. And then for people that are fortunate enough to have access to events as well, our event space has all been regenerated. You know, we've been the biggest event space across the entire region. Obviously, the convention centre is coming on. We acknowledge that. But O'Brien's have spent a lot of money recarpeting, repainting, resurfacing a whole range of areas. There's new furniture. The social club members are in for a real treat. Lots of new technology, things like Wi-Fi upgrades for them, massive TVs, new bars, food outlets, and just general finishes that will reflect the region. Lots of timber, lots of natural finishes. So that's been a summer of that work, and it's taken a lot of work. Plan Group, yep. I'll give them a plug. They've done an amazing
Jared
job.
Jared Mason.
So we
made a Benny's.
I cheated off him at school through most of accounting.
So we had them do all of our high performance refresh right through last year, and did a fantastic job. So they've actually delivered a lot of this for O'Brien Group, and we're really excited about filling GMHBA Stadium.
Wild racing client, Jared.
Is he?
Yeah, he doesn't mind the GGs.
Yeah. Convention Centre. We've had the Kaji Greaves Medal for the last, I think, 20 years at Crown Palladium.
Yeah.
Is there now a space here for the Kaji Greaves Medal Night to come back to Geelong?
Look, it's up for consideration. Yeah, definitely. It's I think the thing that we do need to recognise is we do have a pretty significant footprint through Melbourne. Yep. Our membership base is broad. It's not just Geelong.
Yeah.
But having said that, you can't ignore, you know, where we reside and where we've started from, and we won't. And but by the same token, we are a bit unique in that way that we do have a footprint in Melbourne. We have a footprint in Geelong. The pleasing thing is we've been able to get to 10 home games at GMHBA Stadium. We were as low as seven at one stage, and we're up to 10. So I think that's just fantastic for everybody. The money that generates back through here, which a lot of people don't realise, is, you know, for a Victorian team to visit down here across a weekend, it generates roughly about $5 to $6 million through the economy. So that's accommodation, hospitality, and retail. And then if you bring in an interstate club, you're talking $6 to $7 million that everybody shares in. That's not just the football club. Yep. That's everybody getting a share of that. And that to me has been kept a little bit silent for too long. You know, people look at the stadium and go, a lot of money being spent there. But the fact is, everybody benefits from it. It's, you know, it's what got Tassie over the line as far as the stadium goes. It does, you know, Tassie will have thousands of people flying in and not spending one night. They'll spend anywhere between 2 to 3 nights over there.
Yeah. I think that's one of the talking points of a night grand final is the impact it will have on the economy, given that people will go home straight after the game. Well, most people will go home straight after the game. By the time the celebrations are done, it's too late, whereas you have that window if it's a, I suppose you get away with twilight,
yeah,
but it's
twilight,
an afternoon game.
Yeah.
Are you happy for the umpires to have the stats to do the Brownlow? You probably don't give two hoots, but
I think we're moving into the future.
I spoke to John Sutcliffe today, umpired the 1977 Grand Final, just through my other job, and he asked 50 years ago to have the stats.
Yep.
And they said no. The umpires said no.
No, good addition that.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll leave a few things on the hook, because we know we'll probably talk to you before a game at some stage, but just want to touch on AFLW. A couple of things here. One, you've got a new coach, and he's a pretty good one in mixed in here.
New coaches.
As well. So Sam Simpson's back at the club, which is great.
Yeah.
Ryan Pendlebury comes down from North Melbourne, brings some success with him, so he's just got to jump across from St Mary's to GMHBA Stadium, so that works out perfectly for him. But with Mick, obviously, you know, he comes in with a great reputation and probably a program that from an external observer, you go, it's probably underperformed for the last couple of years and it needs to get back to where it was in 2023. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, it is. I understand how you could get there, thinking about it that way. Look, there's a range of things. I think we, you know, we really spiked. You got to think it's not that long ago that we played in a prelim final.
Yep.
And missed out by, what was it, 4 points or something, I think it was, up there at Springfield. So they were tracking the right way. Probably, you know, it probably required a bit of evolution, the program at that point in time, and it didn't necessarily happen. So we've got to work on that. It's really important. I'm always mindful that the athlete has a really short time frame in their athletic career. As a player, so you've got to be doing what you can to make sure that they have an opportunity for success, and we weren't there in that program, so we have made those adjustments. Mick Stenier is just a good human being, so we're very fortunate, very excited that we've been able to have him accept the role. It wasn't easy for him. I think people should know that. He's very committed to Melbourne. The fact he's been travelling past our door for the last decade, because he lives down at Anglesey with his family, I'm tipping his family are probably pretty happy.
Yeah, they'd be really.
They've got some hours back,
especially with the petrol prices up.
Yeah, but he's a good person. Sam Simpson, well liked, well loved. Everyone's really excited. And then Ryan Pendlebury. The pleasing thing is we've got, you know, three coaches that can get on the tools, like they can actually do the fundamental work. Yep. That's required, and AFLW still requires that. It needs that craft work, and so I attended the session yesterday afternoon. They train Mondays and Wednesday afternoon, and so they had a session on GMHBA Stadium yesterday, and it was pouring rain, but it was really pleasing just the work they were doing, like the amount of craft work they were doing. So very excited. 10 list changes.
Yep.
So you think a list of 30, you know, a third of that list has changed. And you know, a mix of young talent, so we've gone to the draft, and then some experienced talent as well. So, yeah, I'm really – this part of my – you asked earlier about, you know, how do I get motivated. Pretty easy to get motivated about AFLW because there's so much upside, and just excited to, you know, watch them, support them where we can. Dom Kondo's in charge of that. She's GM of that. We've got a new PDM in there, a new psych as part of it as well, a new doctor. So it's been completely refreshed.
Had your little idea about a AFLW gather round in Geelong. Has that still got any legs, or has that sort of been put to the side?
You're letting a few things out of the box here, King, aren't you? Yeah. That's still being explored.
Yep.
Yeah, we're very, very keen. When I say we're very keen, the region's very keen.
The region's keen.
Yeah, everyone is keen on this, including all the major contributors to the community here. You know, right through from GAC.
Yep.
Like we're looking to try and bring to life the Geelong region. We think we can provide a really good experience. So down the track at some stage, we'll keep chipping away.
A lot of fun. The AFL announced yesterday their cultural heritage series. That's going to be for Geelong as part of the AFLW season, I believe.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So that just is a wait now on just what the fixture looks like, and then you'll insert that game into there.
Correct.
Correct.
Well, are you over in Aki?
I reckon Hawks probably.
A bit like George Negus, who was like Paul Hogan's character, George Fungus, on when he did 60 Minutes. But, Hawk, look, thanks for joining us. We look forward to the first game at GMHBA Stadium, particularly with a bit of Polo Chicken. Did see a Polo Chicken, I think they're in Paco, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
They were 75 deep in there Christmas Day.
People love it.
I had to walk past to see what was happening. And it was they're all queued up for their chickens on Christmas Day.
Good food.
Yes, well, it's good.
That's what it comes
down to. We've come a long way since the pie and sauce and a can of VB in the outer.
Choice.
Yeah,
people like
at
choice.
At Icon Park, they do. Anyway, look, thanks for joining us. Good luck for the remainder of the year. Massive sort of 6 weeks for the Cats. Two games at home. You've got a big Easter Monday clash. West Coast over there, and then I think it's the Bulldogs at home and Port Adelaide away. It's probably a sort of defining period. Kingy and I have spoken about it. Hopefully, if the Cats got through at 4-3, I reckon you'd probably be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, just
you want to be 6-1, I know. Look, no, you just sort of have to look at
genuinely looking forward to the season.
Looking forward to this week.
And thanks to K-Rock for your ongoing support.
No, it's appreciated. All good. All right, thanks, Hock. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you throughout season 2026.
Thank you both.
Great chat with Steve Hocking. Kingy, you've done very well there. You've exceeded the Kurzoi Cat Attack podcast expectations by getting the CEO of the Cats in, and was an enlightening chat. King, it was like a fireside chat, was it, without the fire?
And without Bailey Smith.
No, there was no Bailey Smith. We'll meet him on Saturday, King.
Yes.
He was pretty average, fair to say, was the most nondescript 23 disposal game I've ever seen against the Gold Coast.
Yep. Was uninspiring.
It's a massive game for Geelong, Kingy. I know it's only round two.
Yep.
And we spoke about this during the week, and the Cats, we heard Steve Hockey say the Cats don't get too high, they don't get too low, and that's been their mantra for a long period of time, and it served them very, very well. What we do know about the Cats is that traditionally they have been very good at rebounding from heavy losses, particularly at home.
Yep.
Now, Freo aren't bunnies. They are a very good team on the rise.
And aside from last year's loss here in round one, they'd actually won a couple of games here.
Yes. So I think this will it's not going to be season-defining. It's not going to be cataclysmic. But I think it gives us a little window into where the Cats will be this season, depending upon how they go against Fremantle. If they are able to find a way to win, you say, okay, we're resuming normal transmission. If they don't, you're thinking it may just be some sliding doors moment for the Cats as this season unfolds.
Yep. There's a lot of interaction on our KFCX.
I love some interaction, King. Also, I've got a couple of quick concerns, King.
Yeah, and sorry, even Bigfooty as well, but concerns? Go on. Your concerns are?
Just on after Friday night.
Yep. Now, so you know James Warple's not right?
No, he's not. Oh, what's wrong with him?
He's got an infected finger and won't play, but he'll be right for
That isn't ideal.
Adelaide.
Right.
And we'll find out whether Dangerfield and Cameron are back tonight. But your spies around town are telling you that there might be
a debutante, Kingy. Yeah, Mitch Edwards is going to be playing on Saturday. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned. What, Luke Jackson, is Darcy playing? Sean Darcy?
Yeah, I would suspect
or so. I'm happy for the Cats to be playing a debutante. We love debutantes. We love seeing new blood and seeing what they can do and watching their careers unfold. So I am not poo-pooing. From what I saw against Carlton, he is a long, long, long way away from being ready. Now, I wonder whether that is a reaction to the ruck rules. It was one of my takeaways from Friday night. The new ruck rules?
Yes.
Centre bounce?
Yes.
I don't think are going to serve the Cats very well.
Yep.
They don't have, other than Shannon Neal, who they don't want to play in the ruck for obvious reasons, they don't have a ruckman who loves to crash and bash as a collision-type ruck setup. Sam De Koning certainly doesn't want to be doing that. And it's not really Mark Blitzarv's go. Mark Blitzarv was happy to wrestle because he could nullify, at times, the opposition ruckman's involvement, and then he was very good at ground level. So I don't think over the course of this season that these new interpretations are going to serve the Cats very, very well in terms of centre bounces and centre bounce clearances.
Yep. So it was Mason Cox and Luke Jackson who rucked in their community series game against Adelaide.
Right. Well, Luke Jackson will be eyeing Mitch Edwards, and he will be eyeing having a very, very big afternoon. Look, as I said, I thought he was a long, long way away. Is this a reaction? The Cats a little bit of a desperation move? Possibly. But anyway, we'll see. How old is Mitch Edwards? 20?
Yeah, he'd be 20, yeah. Third year on the
and
list.
And he was beaten in a sprint by an 11-year-old kid after the practice game against Carlton, which is always good for your confidence, King. It's a confidence booster when a little whippersnapper shows you a clean pair of heels on Icon Park after the game.
Right, so Mitch Edwards.
My other concern, Kingy.
Is 20, yep.
Yeah, my other couple of
206 centimetres.
Yeah, my other couple of concerns, Kingy, is that we are not, and this is not new, but we do not have enough creativity in the midfield.
Yeah. Does that mean Tanner Bruin needs to spend some more
time? Well, Tanner Bruin, for me, is probably our only creative midfielder. Yeah. Tanner Bruin is quite a good long kick. He cuts the game up because he offers short options. I'm not suggesting he's Dusty Martin, but he seems to have an element of skill about the way he plays. Now, Warple doesn't. He's a foot soldier. Tommy Atkins doesn't. He is a foot soldier. I'm not saying these guys aren't keen, pertinent to your team. They're important players, but they're not creative. Bailey Smith and Max Holmes, I would say, aren't creative. They are run and carry players, but they're very predictable.
Bang it long.
Yeah. They don't cut the game up by offering up short options, every third kick being a short option. They get it, they run and they carry and they kick it long, and it's predictable.
Yep.
Who's the creative midfielder? Now, I'd say in some ways it's Grian Myers, albeit he's not really a midfielder, but he plays because he covers so much ground.
Yep.
He gets a lot of the ball. He is creative. Dempsey, to a degree. They don't have a Petrarca. They don't, and I'm not saying not many clubs do, but they don't have that Petrarca-like player. Yeah. They don't have a Nick Dacos-like player. They don't have a Sarong or an Andy Brayshaw type player.
Errol Goulden.
They don't have an Errol Goulden or a Chad Warner type player. Yeah. They don't have a
an Ed Richards.
Ed Richards is a very good one. They don't have a Lockie Neal type, a Hugh McCluggage type.
Yeah.
Will Ashcroft.
Jordan Dawson.
They don't have that player.
Yeah.
They just do not have it. And I think it's going to hurt them as this year unfolds.
Right. Just some Cat Attack podcast, KFCX style.
Ooh.
Humphrey's 2026 Brownlow. With our Cats outs against Gold Coast last week, I feel like we'll get a much better idea of where the team is at on Saturday. It was an ugly performance and one to forget.
Yes.
Also, opposition fans are going to love another finger injury. Because obviously Tanner Brown
and missed the whole year.
Yeah. Yep. Trevor Young, hard to tell if the club has evolved its game plan or style to fit the evolution of the game more broadly. Do you think there are some underlying structural changes? Magpies apparently didn't play its chipping kick game in practice matches, but unveiled it to great effect on Sunday.
I don't think there's a whole lot of tricks. Geelong defensively were very poor against Gold Coast. They got opened up. That isn't helped by it was a pretty poor skill level. I mean, those egregious, Kingy, we love using that word, don't we? Egregious. Those egregious turnovers under when they're beyond Borg would turn in his grave even though he's not dead. But unforced errors, beyond Borg didn't do them. But unforced errors in AFL kill you because everybody's heading one way and suddenly the ball is heading in the opposite direction. I mean, you can get away with a long kick inside forward 50, possibly, that is marked because you have time then to reset. But the blatant skill error on the wing or through the middle of the ground, and Geelong had six or seven of them on Friday night, and I reckon they probably got five or six goals out of them. You can't have that. But I don't know there's going to be any sort of great magic wand about the way the Cats play and the structure which they play with. I just think that they need to perhaps tighten up defence. They can't offer up 71 inside 50s and be expecting to win too many footy games.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, does this mean we don't play opening round again? What a crock. Do you know if we have a pick in the mid-season draft for a ruckman? There is no mid-season draft pick for the Cats. No. Still not panicking yet. Just a long way to go. Let's hope Oscar, as in Piastri, doesn't crash out this weekend in China.
Well, I turned that on, Kingy.
He's crashed
at 2:59. I didn't want to watch all the palaver that goes on before it, other than maybe the... Are there still grid girls? Were they there,
Kingy? Move on, Ben.
No, were there any... I don't watch that sort of stuff. I watch Mass for You at home on Sundays, and then I'll... What?
Mass for You.
You did, Mass for You at home.
Can you give me your...
I did. Can you give Mass me, for You at home.
Can you give me your...
It was done. It was an old rerun of Monsignor Murray doing it. Brothers and sisters in Christ...
Up at St Mary's.
Yes. I've done that gag before. But it's always funny, Kingy. Brothers and sisters in Christ. He used to just draw everything out. So I watched Mass for You at home, then I turned on the Grand Prix, and I'm thinking, there's a dirty big hole in the grid. Where's the old pizza? And he was nowhere to be seen. I had no idea what had happened. I thought something had... Extraordinary Martians had come down and taken him. Anyway, he had a crash... In the afternoon.
Paul Marinelli was thinking recently that this year's build-up from the club media releases had to be one of the quieter ones in a long time, and boy, did that continue on Friday night. That was deplorable. The Cats looked disinterested, apart from a few. On a plus or a positive, Tanner Bruin was a tick. Do you know what the interesting was? Cats didn't have a season launch this year.
Nothing.
No.
Why not?
I didn't have my list of questions, but Paul Marinelli makes it. I don't know whether they had one last year either.
Maybe they're just not into that, Kingy. Yeah. Maybe they're not into launching.
No.
Have you had a season? We're having a season launch tomorrow night, aren't we?
We are. At Blackman's.
Is anybody getting fizzy? Is anyone having any fizzy ones there?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, but are we allowed to? Is anyone picking me up? because I don't want to be. I don't want to have to be 10 to 2 on the way home from that thing because I could be up past 4.
Do you want me to pick you up?
Well, possibly. Yeah,
all right, we'll have that chat. That's where we're. I think we can say this.
Do I have to wear slacks?
So no, just smart casual.
I don't have smart casual, Kingy.
I've got dumb casual.
I don't do casual.
Bruce Matsuda.
Oh, the old Matsuda.
Scratch and Neil had a tough night against the Gold Coast fullback Sam Collins. How would you evaluate that outcome? Did Neil do enough to break free of Collins? A lot of bombing forward. Neil got outmarked too much. Yes. The small forwards were disappointing. Fair to say delivery didn't help.
No, the delivery didn't help, but Kingy, who's in this in Bruce?
This is Bruce Matsuda.
So great to have a Bruce involved. I love a Bruce. We need more Bruces. No, we need more Bruces. Bruce, I agree with you, and I don't know whether you are a regular listener to this podcast, but my takeaway a couple of weeks ago was that Shannon Neal needs to find a way to impact the game against better opposition.
Yep.
Now, Kingy's right. The service wasn't great, but he was beaten and he was outpointed a few times, which happened religiously in the grand final against Harris Andrews. Mind you, Harris Andrews made Sam Darcy look a bit ordinary too last Saturday night. Yep. So, but yeah, he's got to find a way against better players when it's a bit more of a... It's a bit more tedious in him getting a kick. It's not delivered lace out to him. He's got to find a way to impact, and that's the next step in his progression, and it wasn't a great start.
Yep. Matt at Leachy 89, if we were playing Mitch Nevitt as a tall forward, why didn't we just play Polkinghorne regardless of whether he was ready? Feel the same about Edwards, playing him like the Dogs did with English and just letting him grow. We looked like we had a few underdone, but no need to panic.
No, there's no need to panic. It's one game. I felt for Mitch Nevitt. I mean, he got a crack round one, and they played him completely out of position in a team that got pantsed.
Yeah, and he'll probably get dropped.
Well, do you think he'll get dropped? I think that would be a disservice to the kid.
Yeah, but I think...
If Warple's out, maybe there's an opportunity for him in the midfield.
Yeah, but Zach Tuohy did say last week when I raised that, you'd hate for him to get dropped, and you go, well, would he have got a game if Cameron and Dangerfield had played?
Probably not, but then they've put him in and played him out of position. There's an opportunity with Warple out to put him in the midfield.
Yeah. Here's one for your pop culture reference, Benny.
Oh, yeah. JJ French.
No, Dr. Venkman _NYC.
Dr. Venkman?
Ghostbusters.
Right.
Bill Murray's character.
Is this from Andrew Daly?
No, this is a bloke called Dr. Venkman.
Oh, right.
Yeah. How many blokes turned up? The bus was still half full at 3/4 time. More helicopters in the sky than before a polo match at Portsea. Loch Ness update, he's making a lot of money playing FIFA on the couch.
Yes, he is. Have we heard anything, King?
No, he's still TBC.
Is he still running? Is he running now again? Is he doing anything?
I haven't seen.
Is he doing anything that resembles physical work?
I don't
work?
Know, Ben. I can't answer that question.
Do you think he's... Is anybody updating in terms of how he relies on his bed so he don't have any more bed injuries?
Don't know.
Have you ever had one of those, King?
No, Ben. Let's move on.
A bed injury. I've got my little thing. We forgot to do it last week.
Can I just go through some more?
Oh, yeah.
Listener.
You can.
Keyboard Warrior. I'm back after a brief hiatus in a Thai prison, but don't let that cloud your judgment on what I'm about to write. Boy, not a great start. I think we could all see a world where we lose to the Red Rockets up there, but not like that. We'll choose to take a glass half full approach. I think a lot of what I will say isn't too controversial. I think play decision making was reasonable, but heavens to Betsy, the skill execution was about as good to watch as taking chili sauce for eye drops. I'm sure you'll talk about Bruin's return being one of the few shining lights. I want to shine a light on the pipes of the young man. Seems like he didn't miss a bicep curl over the last 18 months. Atkins did things and was clean below his knees, but after those couple of statements, I think I sculled the glass and there's nothing positive left to say. I could pop most of the team for at some stage committing a basic skill error, but why waste the right-handed passion on the keyboard? Once he was out of the game and the Rockets started their recovery session, we kicked a few junk goals. Maybe the fellas can take that last quarter back to Geelong and try and find some sort of form to score a couple of goals versus the Wharfies. More expert analysis and increasing detail as the year progresses and my liver slowly dies from the poisoning this season may give it. That's Keyboard Warrior.
Well, that's comprehensive from the Keyboard Warrior.
Written, spoken, and authorised.
That was very good. I agree with all that.
Daz Broncos, the early July windows in the box closed, heater on it so stuffy and warm. Benny has had a rough week at the gastroenterologist and get you silently mid-sentence in the middle of the second quarter.
We did say this last week, didn't we?
What?
Just leave the door open, Jeff. It's a little bit stuffy in here.
And you're powerless to do anything about it. That was us last week. Powerless to do anything. Just had to endure it. Bruin, Atkins and O'Sullivan, the highlights. The rest can take a good hard look at and remember that feedback is a gift. Even my boy, that's Shannon Neal, he's just got to find a way to halve a contest when it's going against him. And if he loses one, make sure you don't lose the next. You don't don't have to win it, just don't lose it. How much do you think that last week was a sign of things to come, or was it the culmination of going deep in September, turning around in 160 days or so and being flat as, adding in the conditions that we are at worst in?
Well, I don't think, I mentioned that before, I don't think you'll know the answer to that till probably about round eight. But you'll get a little window on Saturday, I think, because, as I said, Geelong usually bounce back, and I think you'll get a little window into how the season might unfold for Geelong about what happens on Saturday.
The ringer. I missed the call last week at the game with my family is my excuse. Now, you could have been listening to us through the K-Rock app with no delay. But that's a hint for this week for those going to the game. No doubt another good call. Interesting to see we dominated centre clearances. Clearly the fewer bodies in the forced ruck contest helps us. We ended up close on stoppage clearances, but were well behind at three-quarter time. For all our lack of midfield, I think we just need to sort out a disposal efficiency to have a big turnaround. Did you notice that when we miss, it always happens to be our opponent's advantage? At most times, the Suns miss their target, it was still to their advantage. I've noticed that more and more with us. Our misses are bad, if not to the opposition. It's not too dissimilar to golf. We need to know the best place to miss. Don't miss long if there are bunkers behind the green. When the opponent is on the outside, don't miss your target on the outside. It may not give us a W against a midfield of Petrarca, Anderson, Miller and Witts, but we'll be very competitive against them. Well, the only time we'll see Gold Coast again this year is in finals.
GMHBA. Aren't they playing? Don't we have the whiteout against Gold
Coast? Oh, sorry, he is too.
Round 14. Yes.
Forgot to ask Hawk about that.
Kingy. Yeah. Kingy, I knew around an opponent that you didn't know. Yeah. That's one me, nil you. In today's episode.
So, yes. Thank you for that. Cats. Reece Stanley not listed on injury list, but also unsighted at both AFL and VFL level. What's the go? Understand he's playing VFL this week. So VFL about midday out at Deakin against Collingwood.
Did they play Arden Street, North Arden Street?
Last week.
Busy play?
Yes, he did.
Right, so there's nothing wrong with you.
Fox Dog 50. Gents, first of all, Benny, I agree 100% of the people you named in the fifth quarter on who are a question mark. Also, what are the chances of Zach Tui coming on the podcast? Wouldn't mind asking him some questions. YNWA, you'll never walk alone, which is Liverpool. Zach Tui is cheating on us.
Yeah, he's doing the Cats podcast, isn't he? With Lingy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a couple of K-Rock veterans.
Where he's got to be, he's probably got to be a little bit more...
Yeah, he's got to be a bit more.
He's a bit inhibited.
He's got to keep. He's got to keep his card. Yeah, you got to. You got to sort of. You know, I think the expression is you got to have everyone singing from the same hymn sheet, Kingy. Whereas I can get a bit off key here on the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast.
Howler 41. Unfortunately, a poor effort on the Gold Coast. I'm sure we've had all those real fluff in the elevator smell about it. Not sure many will go to the Gold Coast and win this season.
No.
Cats had more turnovers than a restless sleeper. You'd hope it's a one off and that we can start hitting targets like Phil the Power Taylor, who was darts.
Yeah, the theme with a lot of this interaction, Kingy, with our listeners. And we appreciate you listening to the Kerr's High Cat Attack podcast, is that the skill errors were down. The skill execution was down from the Cats, which we understand that. I've stood up for him for a long time. I'm hugely concerned about Jai Clark. I don't know what he's offering us. Maybe I had the rose-coloured glasses on. I can't see... I thought after a big pre-season that he would, you know, that you'd see some improvement. Now, it was only one game, but he was very poor. I can't see on face value what the Cats saw in him to take him with the seventh pick overall in the draft.
Right.
He's not that big. His skill is just. He doesn't kick goals. He's quite slight. And he obviously got a lot of the ball in the under-18 competition against kids. Now, what one element of his game now could you tell me would be top 10 worthy in terms of talent?
I don't think there is.
So what were the Cats watching?
No.
I'm not sure. I think he is – I have grave concerns. I have grave concerns that Sam De Koning just goes through the motions. And that happens more often than – I'm not just basing this off the last Friday, but – does he just go through the motions? He's not a ruckman. We understand all that. I've said all that. But does he really want it? Does he want to? He just doesn't do much. Mm. Who else do we have, Kingy? I Blitzarves in the ruck. One of those calls us tweeters. What do we got? Triple X.
Yeah,
I've got a story about Triple X.
You're not telling.
It'd be maybe borderline.
No, not telling.
It's like the Bluetooth story.
The Bluetooth story will never get told, Benny.
It is an all-timer, Ken. Oh, I know. Does it make you laugh?
It does make me laugh.
Especially when the grandparents are involved.
But I'm not getting involved with that. Benny, I don't want to be cutting in any of this. Episode has gone over an hour.
Yeah.
Can I just finish with Catters 28?
Yes.
Right. Just wondering what the go is with Cam Guthrie. I know he was delisted last year because of injury, but I always thought it odd he never officially announced his retirement. Was he trying to get a lifeline with another club? I believe he was. He was keen to play on.
Right.
And he didn't get an opportunity. So he's spent a bit of time in Europe.
Yeah, well,
he's
back, is he? You tried to get him on and he said no.
No.
Is that right?
Correct.
You tried to get him on this podcast
yep.
and he said get lost.
They weren't, no. He was very polite about
what
it.
What did he say?
No, he said basically thank you for the offer, but I'll...
But I'll politely decline.
I'll decline.
And is he going to be on 60 Minutes?
Probably.
What?
Probably.
Do you think?
Yep.
He won't be on 60 Minutes, will he?
No, I don't.
He'll be on 45 Minutes.
Yes.
That's a different show, Kingy.
Can we go, Benny?
We can go, Kingy, but we've got a lot of problems, the Cats,
yep.
and we need them ironed out before Saturday,
yep.
and we're going to iron them out with Mitch Edwards, which is extraordinarily concerning.
Keep an eye out for K-Rock Football Geelong Lager, thanks to Blackman's Brewery.
And if we don't make it to the game, you'll know we've had an unbelievable season launch, Kingy.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.